If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Welcome to Leadcast. Hello and welcome to episode 539 of the Leadcast Podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, and that's it. Colton is returning from a trip, very sunburnt, very tired from his travels. So he'll join us next week. Also hasn't played any league this week, I think. So, hey, that's all right. Yeah, anyway, on this episode, we have a couple new patrons, got a little bit of Leadcast news, a tiny bit of new news. No stories slash zillion actions. Sorry if you can hear thunder, by the way. I'm not sure if it's coming through on the mic, but it is storming currently, so very very loud.
And then
we've got our Manscaped ad read, of course. Do you want to talk a little bit about Belveth?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Okay, I do as well, because my feelings on her have changed. We'll do a little bit of competitive league. We'll talk about our second sponsor, NordVPN, and then close it out with Roundtable and Mailfight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. Not the most League of Legends. I guess the only League of Legends I did, really, was I did my Wheels stream. We had a bunch of people for it. It was a lot of fun. So for those who don't know, the Wheels stream was a... I got people to like donate and they would tell me what to play, and I added all these things to a wheel, and one of the things on the wheel was end stream, so I was gonna play until I hit the end stream thing, and I had like 30 things on the wheel, so like my chance of ending stream was 1 in 30.
Low.
When I played something, it'd be 129, then 128. And I played my first game of Zaya with you. You were in it. It was fun.
I was.
Played
yeah.
a second game as Lilia. Was less fun because I'm bad at Lilia. And then I hit end stream on my I felt a little bad, so I played a couple more, like keeping rolling through people's stuff. I might, if I ever get bored, just like pull up the wheel again and do some more from that. Mm-hmm. I got out early. I was like, planning on streaming till like 7 in the morning from like an 8 hour stream or a 9 hour stream or whatever, but I was done in like an hour and a half, so
I meant to ask you
3 hours a league.
I meant to ask you, your plan was to stay up till 6 or 7. Were you just gonna stay up the whole day?
Yeah, because I had to take my car in the next morning for something as well, so.
Oh, Jesus, that sounds awful.
So I was like, whatever. It's like, I felt bad, though, because I promised it, and it just kept getting pushed. So I'd rather just do it, but.
That's true.
Fuck,
just get it over with.
I got blessed.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun, though. Outside of that, I'm going to be playing a lot more Tom Kench on stream soon. So if you're ever tuned into my stream, you'll see probably some Tom Kench gameplay. And outside of that, I would like to do some more community games, because I think community games are still my favorite way to play League of Legends right now, like in-house 5v5s. So
yeah, nice. Well, Tom Kench is OP. Tom Kench is OP.
Yeah,
Aiden's coming back.
Super OP. best AD carry in the game, like a top five support.
I think he's number
top laner.
Two, yeah, top laner by win rate currently. What did I do? Oh, I played a little bit of Belveth, so we'll talk about that. I also did a couple community night games where I forced people to let me jungle Belveth and didn't turbo in their game.
How good is
bad.
Blind Pick, by the way? I'm starting to get people to join the Blind Pick wave.
I wanted to do it so I could just get Belveth uncontested, but I feel like it's actually just a superior mode.
Dude, you click it, you're in game. Like, you click Q, it pops immediately, and you're fucking through champion select so quick. Like,
it's so fast.
So
I feel like people don't dodge, right? Because why the fuck would you dodge? I guess if you don't get your role.
Unless you're solo queuing, you don't get role, but like, you're getting your character that you want. Like,
yeah. Oh, my power flickered a little bit. Uh-oh.
Oh, there goes Nick. oh no. Do I have to do a solo show? I wonder if I should. I guess I'll talk for a little bit. Maybe he'll pop back in. We'll see. But anyways, The other cool thing about Blind Pick is you get to play mirror matches. So mirror matches are super sick. We actually played one a couple days ago where our bottom lane played Misfortune to Misfortune, and it was just them fucking ulting each other all game. Sorry, Nick is gone though, so this might just be a fucking short show. Anyways, yeah, I think we're going to do a solo bolo here. So it's going to be a bit of a shorter show because Colton's sick and Nick doesn't have power now. So bear with me. We'll probably do emails next week. We'll see. We'll just go with the flow, boys. Stick with me. Anyways, let's hop into the show. Our new patrons for this week are Jake and Mary Makes No Sense. Thank you guys both for your support of the show. So let's hop into the new news. So the first thing in new news is Riot has a partnership with Games Pass, which is really fucking cool. I'm actually super excited for this. It's super unique. So what this means is that if you have Games Pass, which is Xbox's monthly $9, $10 subscription, you're going to get all the League of Legends champions unlocked, all the Wild Rift characters unlocked. For Legends of Terra, you get the Foundation set unlocked. For Teamfight Tactics, you get a bunch of little legends. And for Valorant, you get all agents unlocked. So this only lasts while you have a subscription to Games Pass. But I think it's fucking cool. I think this is like, if you're a newer player, paying $10 a month to have access to everything's kind of sick. So this is very similar to the model that they were using for PC bangs, like in Korea, or I guess even in North America, I think there's some PC bangs, so where you'd go to this PC bang, pay whatever dollars an hour to play League of Legends, but you'd have like a bunch of shit unlocked, including like bonus XP and all this other stuff. So it's kind of like that just being translated into a different model. That being said, if you do stop subscribing to Xbox, you won't have access to those characters anymore. It sounds like you'll be able to, while you're subscribed, say, I don't own Brand, so I subscribe to Games Pass. I have Brand unlocked now. I can still buy Brand because I don't actually own him. I just have him unlocked. But anyways, it's a really cool model. I think it's like kind of cool. A lot of people are pretty down on it. They're like, why the fuck would I do this? It's not fair that I'm paying this and I'm not just going to keep it for free. It seems like just a good model, especially if you're already paying for Games Pass, just like being an Xbox owner or their fucking crazy collection of games on PC. It's kind of sick. Games Pass is definitely one of those services currently where Microsoft is bleeding money to get client share, and you should take advantage of this. It very, very much feels like fucking the good old like movie pass and stuff like that. So I think Games Pass is a really good investment currently. Anyways, what's up next is our starry section, which we have no fucking starries. Can you guys fucking believe that we don't have a single starry this week? That's fucking bullshit. But what we do have is a Manscaped addery. This is going to be a solo bolo fucking Manscaped addery. Can you guys believe it? Anyways, gentlemen, Father's Day is around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure all father figures out there are looking looking daddy material this June. Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0 includes a signature lawnmower 4.0. It is the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. This right here is no dad joke. Treat him yourself and enjoy the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. 20% off plus free shipping with the code LEADCAST at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. I mean, we talk about Manscaped all the time. We think it's been our best partnership ever. Our community seems to love it. We seem to love it. I don't think there's a product that I don't use. I fucking love their shampoo and body wash still. That's like the stuff that I use fucking on the daily. It's still sick. But anyways, once again, it's 20% off plus free shipping with code LEADCAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code LEADCAST. Shake what your mama got ya. Nah, shake what your daddy gave ya. Yeah, thank you so much, Manscaped. We love being partners with you guys. We love all the products. Awesome. Cool. What's next on our document is we were going to talk about League of Legends addiction. I think this is going to be a better discussion for a bunch of people, but it's something that I really want to talk about. I'll give a brief overview of what we're going to talk about next week. So there is a Bob Quinn tweet on Twitter who is used to be a professional player. Either he's a streamer for Team Liquid currently. And he tweeted out like kind of like, is this okay? And it was a picture of someone who has 2,000 games played this season, right? And his idea was, it doesn't seem healthy for people to play this much League of Legends. And I am in a complete agreement of it. I personally think that video game addiction is a real thing, and people overall play too much. I'm not saying that you can't enjoy a hobby, can't know life, whatever you want. That being said, you should probably take other priorities in your life and put them first, right? Work, friends, relationships, school, all these things should come before a video game, and video games should be secondary. I think this will be a better discussion because I know Nick feels a little bit different about it. He thinks that you should be able to spend your time however you want, which, once again, you can. I just know that it's just really sad to see people who play 3,000 games of League of Legends a season and don't seem to actually even enjoy it that much, right? They just do it because it's the thing they do. And it feels like that time could be better spent like on so many other things in your life, and it'd be way more fulfilling. Nick might come back actually, boys. Sure.
All right, we're back. Sorry about that. My power went out and we had to quickly figure out what to do. Hopefully Aiden helped.
Nick's being attacked by the fucking thunderstorm here. Colton's out sick. Nick's being attacked by thunder, dude. How am I going to fucking save the day this week? but anyways, I got through a little bit of the show. We talked about the Riot X Games Pass thing, which is just really fucking cool, I think. I know we talked a little bit on Discord about it.
Yeah,
it seems like cool. Only a good thing. And then we have to talk about...
Sorry, did you mention that it was only while you have an active subscription?
Yeah, I talked about how
which
that
makes sense, but
like,
it kind of sucks.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are upset about it, but like the reality is it's exactly how the old PC what are they called, like the cafes, like the gaming cafes,
yeah,
and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
like Riot sometimes would partner with those and give, like, while you were playing on those, you get an unlocked account. It works the exact same way as those, so it's really cool though. I'm really excited. It'll get a lot more people into League, who, if people have been like, hey, I want to get into League but I don't have access to all these characters, I feel 12 years behind, then this is a pretty fucking good way to get into it, I think. So.
For sure. And hopefully, I would hope this would kind of allow Riot to see that, like, champions, the cost of champions is a little bit too high.
Yeah.
Maybe the numbers go up more significantly than they expected just because people can have access to all the characters. So I don't know, maybe, but it is a little ridiculous for characters to be like 5 years old and still 6,300.
It's a lot, man.
Yeah.
But anyways, what we were like just starting to talk about was the, Bob Quinn tweet, the Team Liquid content creator, who said he tweeted, no flame, but if your profile looks like this, then what are you doing with your life, man? How can someone play almost 2,000 games already this season? My peak League addiction doesn't even come close to this. And he tweeted out an account of someone obviously was in one of his games who has 2,000 games currently played, which averages out to like 13-14 games a day since the beginning of the season, and that doesn't include fucking non-ranked games, by the way, because that was only the ranked climb. And it's interesting because I think he's being too harsh about it. I think that's probably the easiest thing to say. That being said, I'm someone who very much thinks that video game addiction is a very real thing, and I think a lot of people throw away a lot of their life playing games just mindlessly because that's the thing they do, right? They go, I come home and I play 5 games a League, and that's how I spend my night every night. And it feels like just autopiloting and doing stuff like that is not always a good thing. I feel like a lot of people, like, the reality is, as long as you're putting your priorities first, as long as you have healthy relationships with friends, family, relationships, whatever, you're getting your school stuff done, you're getting your work done, all those priorities come first, then it's probably fine to spend your time however you want. That being said, I think a lot of people don't spend their time well.
Yeah.
And that's what scares me.
So this is, I definitely want to preface like this by saying my argument is assuming that, you know, video games aren't negatively impacting your life the way, like, I literally can't hold down a job because I have to play League of Legends. Like, this is assuming that none of that is the case, because obviously, like, yeah, if you have priorities, like my, you know, family relationships are being damaged because I want to play video games. But if you kind of look at it, I think it, like, obviously it would depend on the very specific, like, circumstances. But if this person worked like a work from home job that had a lot of downtime, I actually don't think it's like that crazy. It is a lot of League of Legends, and should it have been spent like somewhere else? Yeah, definitely. Probably. But I also I do think like video game addiction is real. Like, clearly, I think we've seen so many examples of like, you know, people ruining their like college career, for instance, because they've they don't go to class, just play games all day. But I think like if it's not, I think video game addiction is like a tiny bit overblown, just because I personally, like, obviously I spend a lot of time playing games, but it's never like negatively impacted my life to my knowledge. I think like that addiction would just get replaced with something else, I suppose, that you would be addicted to. Mm-hmm. And that would be my only, like, I don't know, thing, but maybe that's not even a good argument. You know, if you're finding addiction elsewhere, I don't know, maybe that's not justification, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of League of Legends. It's too much League of Legends, like, quite frankly.
Yeah, like, I think the biggest thing is that I think a lot of people who are in that situation don't always know
yeah.
they're in that situation, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, my main thing, and I just see this a lot with people, and it does worry me about even our own listeners, for example, is I do think a lot of people go, well, this is the thing I do, so that's why I do it, you know what I mean? And that's the yeah. only reason why they play games, and mm-hmm. that's not a good reason, you know what I mean? Like, like some people, it's because they're good at the game, for example, right? I play League of Legends because I've committed so much time and I'm already good at it. I don't want to play other stuff. I don't want to do other stuff, right? I want to make this into something important, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Turn hobbies of yours into stuff that you want to do. Great.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think a lot of people realize how easy it is to just transition to League of Legends isn't your thing that you do 100% of the time, right? Like, I just feel like a lot of people autopilot, and it does worry me. I just want people to be the best that they can be, you know what I mean? And I'm not mm-hmm. saying, I'm not trying to fucking parent you. I'm not your fucking parent.
Yeah, obviously.
That being mm-hmm. said, I just, you can just achieve so much, and even if you cut down, like, the number of games, if you are someone who plays 2,000, 3,000 games of League a year, it doesn't mean you have to stop. It just, maybe you should try other hobbies, you know what I mean? Maybe you should just, like, try putting some of that time elsewhere, because even if you think League of Legends is the thing I do, it's the thing I enjoy, you probably will find joy in a lot of other things that potentially could do really good things for you.
And I feel like kind of something that's a bit understated is, like, time away from something can actually increase your, like, enjoyment or, like, love for that thing. You know, if you're away from your family for a little bit of time, or your significant other, like, you'll be more appreciative of, like, their presence. And the same thing I would say, like, goes for League, or could go for League. You know, you spent a little bit less time playing, you know, games, and maybe your enjoyment of, like, you know, League becomes so much higher, because, you know, that one mistake isn't such a big deal, because, you know, you realize you have other things going on, and it's not mm-hmm. you know, it's not as crucial to win that game or that team fight or whatever. But it's a lot of League of Legends. If you're playing that much, like, maybe play one less game and like, just go for a walk, you know, something yeah. like that. And even that would just go a long way.
I mean, even just starting to think about it, right? Like, you don't have to immediately yeah. action. Of course, action's the right way to get out of any cycle. But that being said, even just considering, like, oh, maybe I would like to do this, right? Maybe start looking into other things that you want to do with your time. And I don't know, it's just always a positive thing, I think. Like, just doing stuff because you do it isn't always a good reason. And that's mm-hmm. the main thing I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, staying in bad habits isn't anything that you want mm-hmm. to do.
For sure. Awesome. But yeah, I think the tweet was, like, a little bit harsh, but, like, I understand sure. the point. Because, I mean, I'd say 90% of the replies, man, are like, I can spend my time however the fuck I want, which mm-hmm. very much just reads as, like, I play a lot of League and I'm happy with it, which is fine, but, like, I don't think the core of it's that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
But, yeah, it's cool. That leads us to, where are we? Right here. It leads Belveth, us to, let's talk about Belveth for a little bit.
Poggers. So what are your initial thoughts on her after a week?
So, on release, just to give context, Belveth was the lowest win rate character in the game, with, like, a 35% win rate in jungle, mm-hmm. then even lower in solo lanes. It has slowly grown. Did they hotfix her? I don't think they hotfixed her either, did they?
No, they did. To my knowledge, they did not.
So, currently on, the 14th, she is 48% win rate jungle, which is a crazy jump. Mm-hmm. 41% win rate top, and 42% win rate mid. 43, actually.
Trevor thinks she's actually, like, really good mid lane. Better jungler.
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit more today about it. He definitely has his opinions dwindling on it. That being said, I think she has good reasons to be played mid. She's just even harder mid than she is jungle, which is what I wanted to talk about. I think that she's weird because she plays like, you know, like the mastery type, like the I need to farm up, I need to carry. She gets invaded, she dies like 100% of the time because she has long cooldowns. Also, she probably is the jungler with the hardest clear that Ryze released in years, I think.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily know if it's like crazy hard.
Get like the 3 minute yeah, yeah. So clears like that. Like
definitely. So optimized, it's insanely difficult, like crazy hard. But like I think it's a little like maybe if you're invaded at like level 2, like her her, you know, she's really easy to die. But I think as soon as you get level 3, like it's not too bad. Like you're pretty safe.
You just have long cooldowns is the biggest thing I find.
Yeah, for sure. They're really long cooldowns. If you if you don't have like your zones up, for instance, your Q dashes, it's pretty tough. Specifically, I mean, if you don't have your E, like you're just fucked. You're not a character.
Your fucking best ability. It's so gross.
I think actually, like, so I only have a 3-game sample size of like playing it. Played it against it once. Twice. I think. I think it might be like simultaneously the best ability in the game and the worst ability in the game based on like usage.
Yeah.
Because I mean, straight up, it's like it's a fucking insane ability. Like it's so good,
defensively and offensively.
Yeah, both. But if you use it poorly, it absolutely does nothing. It's terrible.
Yeah.
I would tend to agree with your sentiment. It's hard. I'm not sure if she's like OP broken, like most new characters tend to release that. But she's definitely stronger than what people initially thought. Absolutely, like much stronger than that.
Yeah, most people thought she was like one of the worst characters in the game, I would say.
I think people thought she was the worst character in the game.
Yeah, I still think that she like once again, like if you're interested, anyone like who wants to play the character, go up and look at the like optimal jungle clearings for Bel'Veth.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it's like positioning yourself so your Qs always put you in the right direction. Auto canceling after every single Q is like all these things are super, super important to like make sure you have a clear that's on par with other junglers who have it way easier is like the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I do quickly want to talk about her mid. She's interesting mid. Because so obviously she's supposed to be a jungler, mostly because they fucking tied the mechanic of her ult evolve thingy, like where she turns into the better version. When you get a kill, you get a 1-minute version of it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when you kill Herald, Dragon, or Baron,
180,
you get a three-minute version of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 180 second,
sorry. And it's like That's crazy. Like, so like early Herald are fucking gross on this character, which I think holds her back a little bit in mid lane because obviously you don't have as much prio on jungle, as well as obviously you just feast on jungle minions to get like stacks and stuff as well.
Yep.
That being said, what most people don't know is obviously her Q directions are like, what do you want to say? Like the
cardinal directions?
Cardinal directions, yeah. That being said, you can cast it in like any, like think of it as like a Fiora's four like corners or whatever. Like,
yeah, but based on your character,
in any single like any part of that like big section, that big quarter.
Meaning, yeah,
when you're playing mid lane and one of your directions is directly down mid, one is towards top lane, one is towards bottom lane, you have three dashes down the lane because you can go straight down the lane, straight down the lane like up a little bit, and straight down the lane down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning. Your trade patterns, if you're really fucking good, are actually fucking insane because you can dash in, W, dash out, dash back in. Like,
yeah, it's really cracked. And I think that is like her one saving grace in the mid lane because otherwise she's pretty
She's unplayable otherwise.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I definitely think there could be some tech there. It would be really interesting. She's not blind pickable. Period. I think she loses to probably every single mage in the game or ranged character. Period. But she's probably like pretty good into like most melee characters, I would say. Especially those with like really telegraphed burst. Like I would say she's probably pretty good into Fizz, for instance, where you can see his E, you can see his ultimate. They're probably going to be casting it at the same time. And you can, you know, 70% damage reduction that. Yeah, so Do you have any? So there's been a lot of like debate about build and ability skill order, runes, kind of like more than I would say any character released kind of recently.
Be more discussion. Well, so like okay, there's a shitload of discussion. I feel like it's pretty solved, but there could be more if certain items were balanced better. Is what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
because I think like. We had some people in our Discord who were saying Trinity Force is really good on her, Tiamat items are really good on her, like all these things, which I think are true. I think those items are good on her. Mm-hmm. That being said, dude, Kraken Slayer, Blade of the Rune King, all the like items like that are just so fucking broken currently, Death's Dance, that it feels like her build is solved because of how strong items that she can build are currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's sort of how I feel too. So I had been watching a lot of LS play Belveth, and he is building her differently than most other players are. He is going, I think, Blade of the Rune King into Iceborne Gauntlet.
Okay.
Which I tried, and it's probably fine if you're ahead. Feels very, very bad if you're not ahead. Because you just do no damage at all. So yeah, I definitely think Kraken's the way to go, Blade of the Rune King. I would like to throw a special shout out to Gintu's. You proc it insanely fast, which just procs your on-hit effects even faster. She also is I think the single best Baron taker in the game.
Yeah, just to stick with the Gintu's thing. She also procs Conqueror with her.
Yeah, Conqueror instantly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so like always take Conqueror on her. She never take any other rune because there's nothing that's... Other runes can be good on her, but they're never going to be as good as Conqueror.
Yeah, so I think I think Lethal Tempo is a trap. You proc it instantly and you have the stacks a lot. But with your Q, you don't really need the range. The attack speed is like just kind of okay, but while you're E-ing, it doesn't do anything because you're attacking at a fixed rate anyway. And then I think the only other like maybe viable option is press the attack just because you proc it instantly, you get like a ton of bonus damage. But if you can like fully stack Conqueror in legitimately probably like half a second at most, like why aren't you using Conqueror, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, go Conqueror, please. I was going, I think, Triumph, Alacrity, and then the Execute one, Coup de Grace.
Yeah.
As well as, I think the way to go is Free Boots plus Cosmic Insight instead of like Celerity Water Rocking, like most junglers tend to go. And then you really, really want to prio Early Herald. I was playing normal games, so I don't necessarily think it's, you know, a great representation, but I did get Early Heralds in every game that we played. And I was level 6 by that time. Turns the character around completely. So you, like Aiden was saying, you get your 3-minute true form, I have the ability up in front of me, gives you bonus health, bonus move speed, bonus attack range, increased attack speed, and it heals you for a little bit when you actually use it. And what it doesn't really tell you is that when you're under the effect of Baron or Herald, when you kill enemy minions, you spawn your little creatures, your little Zerg. And holy fuck, do they push really hard and really fast. It's actually like crazy how good those things are. As soon as you get that, go to a lane, start killing minions. You're gonna have basically a double minion wave that's really, really hard to kill, and take that tower like real fast. And that's what she like super excels at early.
Yeah.
Ability, I guess, maxing. So obviously E is her best ability. But I think there's a lot of merit to putting some points in Q early, because E's really bad for jungle, but it's really good for fighting. Whereas Q is like really, really sick for jungle, but pretty okay for fighting. So I think the LS method, 3 points Q, then max E is the way to go.
Yeah.
Point in W last. Yeah, and then I think the only two things that I wanted to note were Make sure you pick up the Void Corals. This is something that like was really fucking with me. If you take Herald, you have to pick up the Void Coral, which is your ultimate thing, and you also have to take the Eye, which is the regular Herald thing.
Yeah.
And you can do that like a bunch of times in team fights. It is really good. It does. I think it's a slow. An AoE slow around you, an explosion for damage, and it heals you as well. So you're a reset character, but it's not like game instantly team fight winning like Katarina or Talon or something like that. And then the last thing is that your W will reset the Q in the direction you hit a champion. So the combo is, you know, Q forward, W, Q again. You can Q W like really, really fast. It's actually really hard to react to, if you're not prepared for it. And I think that's Belveth pretty much.
Hell yeah.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I just think she's very cool. I think she's going to be C0 pro play.
Yep. Zero pro play. She's a strong character after three items, and that's bad for pro play.
That being said, I think she's going to fucking decimate low elo and then slowly scale down the higher elo you get. That's kind of how she's going to function, I think, for a while.
I think she's going to function very similarly to Kindred, where like Kindred's not a great character unless you put in a shit ton of time, and then she's the best jungler in the game for solo queue. And I think that's how she's going to function. If Belveth gets ahead, it is very, very difficult to win the game. Her kit does extremely well from behind. She just gains so many stats from being in true form and getting, you know, stacks of what, assimilation, I think it's called, or lavender, whatever.
Yeah.
I would give her a shot. I was not hyped for this character at all, period. I thought this was going to be a character that I never played. But I put in three normal games. I think she's really, really fun. I'll probably like not main her or play her in jungle or anything like that, like in ranked. But I think she's like super fun for normals, where you can have a lot of coordination with your team for, you know, neutral objectives and invades and skirmishes and things like that. So she's cool. I wish she had a cooler skin. I don't really like Battle Boss. I think it's bad.
It's very average.
So awesome. Cool. That's Belveth.
We want to quickly talk about Nord, our next sponsor.
I would love to.
Yeah. So Nord, we're sponsored by NordVPN. Nord offers many tools to improve your online experience when choosing the it's a very easy to use product with connect with one click, or enable auto connect for zero click protection. With over 5,500 servers in 60 countries, find a server near you for better speed, or connect to a faraway location to freely explore the internet. They have amazing speed. It's confirmed by the speed test. NordVPN is the fastest VPN out there. You can connect up to 6 devices on every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux. Even your Android TV supports NordVPN.
That's crazy. They've
really, really been good to us. Honestly, like, I mean, Nick, you and I have both used fucking VPNs for like ever. Nord, like, it's just, they're just the fucking top in the game, though. It's really, really great. When I used to watch so much fucking anime, dude, that's the only way you can actually like watch everything you want to watch.
Like, when I tell you guys, it is the easiest program to use on my computer. Like, I'm not joking. You turn it on, you press a button, boom, you're done. Like, if you want to connect, you click the location you want to connect, boom, it's changed instantly.
Yeah, no,
like,
for
it's crazy.
They're really, really great too. So once again, you can grab your exclusive offer with NordVPN by going to nordvpn.com/leaguecast to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus a free threat protection, plus 1 month for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Thank you once again, NordVPN. Be sure to check them out. They've been really good to us.
Thank you, Nord. Do you want to talk about the round table?
Let's quickly talk about competitive.
Oh, LCS, yeah.
Because I accidentally like went over it. The only thing we have to talk about is they released a hype video. Have you watched it, by the way, Nick?
I have not. This seems very nostalgic, I would say.
Yeah. So there's two camps right now of people. The one camp is, this is the camp I'm in, is holy fuck, this is the best hype video that LCS has ever created. It's on the level of like the old OGN videos, like the OGN summer, OGN winter, like fucking videos. It's so fucking sick. And then there's the other camp of people that go, holy fuck, this is only cool because it's a bunch of old pros and the narrative is now LCS used to be so good. But like, I think it's cool. The whole idea of the video is it's all the pros looking onto like the new upcoming talent. Like there's a shot of like Sneaky Doublelift looking at fucking Danny like clutching out stuff. It's like, it's cool. It's just fucking very unique. It feels like OGN level of production. I fucking love it. I think that the people who are like, you can make jokes about it. It is funny that it's going to be the best hype video and it's zero new players really in it. That being said, it's still fucking cool. It still makes me excited for LCS, which I think is the whole point of it.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. I it makes me long for the days when everyone was interested in watching LCS and not just like a small number of people, I guess, in my circle, you know.
Yeah,
when me and Matt Hillman used to watch every single show, every single game and break it down. The skinny forum. I'm pretty hyped. I hope that, you know, the season is entertaining.
Oh, for sure. I'm excited for LCS to come back. Mm-hmm. So
awesome.
Cool. Let's hop into the roundtable, which last week the question was, what great League of Legends topic would you be able to debate someone on? What are the main sides of the debate? From our Twitter, we got a couple of responses. One from Eric, he said, should Yumi be removed from the game? Yes and yes. And Rainbow Honeysuckle said, FFing 80% of the cases is cringe. The game wasn't unwinnable until you say it is. Teams throw all the time. I completely agree in like a solo queue environment. I think if you're playing with your homies though, fucking throw up FFs as much as you want. Fucking get out of those games and get into better games.
Yeah. Like, especially if it's normal, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And then from our Discord, Soraka's Baby Daddy said, I would debate people that no, solo queue stats and win rates are not the entire story, but also no, they're not meaningless or unusable. They simply need to be interpreted using a good understanding of the game and statistics. A game of statistics. Mm-hmm. I would also lose the debate because humans are terrible at statistics. True. But yeah, no, for sure. And then Foxloaf said, whether or not Tryndamere should have his ult change completely, stances are that he has no counterplay, aka the correct stance, versus doing nothing is counterplay. I hate the champ. He's problematic for the same reason Yumi is, which is the fact that he's completely uninteractive. I think Tryndamere is a pretty uninteractive character when you like look at the whole roster of characters.
Yeah, I think so too. I think if you... Uninteractive is maybe... I'm not 100% sure if that's the word I would use, but like, is he probably the most frustrating character to play against in the game? It, you know, an argument can be made for that. Yeah. And you know, that's problematic if people hate playing against the character.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it definitely comes down to the fact that like, no matter what, the mechanic of undying is going to be frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. A character can't kill you and also pumps out, you know, some of the highest damage in the game. That, yeah, that's either problematic, frustrating, or you know, unpickable at best for most people.
The character can still have weaknesses, right? Like the character can still be terrible for 90% of the game and have an annoying mechanic. Like,
yeah, exactly.
A great example is like fucking Pokemon, dude. Pokemon that have like fucking explode. If Pokemon can be shit, dude, but if it explodes and one hits your shit, it's still fucking annoying.
I always bring this back to imagine a character that is perfectly balanced. It's 50-50 every time.
Yeah.
But the moment you load into the game, it flips a coin and the game's decided then. That's it. Yeah, like just, that's how the bad character plays. Like, yeah, it's perfectly balanced, but balanced. It's frustrating as fuck. Like, yeah. And those are two separate things where, yeah, you can have a perfectly balanced character or one that, you know, it isn't the most frustrating to play against. But if it's problematic, like for the game, it's an issue. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we talked a lot about negative stuff. So this week's roundtable question is, what is one way in which your life is better because you decided to play League of Legends?
Ooh, I'll say the podcast and the friends I've made from it. Podcast. I think it would be wild to not pick the podcast, you know. It is like quite literally changed both of our lives. I mean, I've made, you know, lifelong friends from it. I moved away for it. You met your wife from it. So... Mm-hmm. Like,
we're also both filthy rich from it.
Yeah, disgustingly rich. It's crazy. What you guys don't actually realize is that it says $1, but it's actually charging you guys $100 a piece.
Get fucking scammed. No, but yeah, it's been really, really good. Like, it's done a lot for me overall, so it's been great. But if you want to let us know what in which way League has made your life better, you can hit us up on our Twitter at LeagueCast. You can send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or you can come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. Oh my gosh, that was hard to say.
That's all right. We're working on it. Our first email in Mail Fight is from HFire Jade. It's been a while. Hey, my dudes, HFire here. Been a while since I've sent in an email. For this week's roundtable, my debate topic would be ARAMs. Although a casual game mode can get really competitive and can be a strong test of skill. As a player who hasn't played more than 30 games of ranked since Season 2, I spend the majority of my time in ARAMs. I regularly match against all levels of skill from unranked, like myself, to Grandmaster. Even with ARAMs being the casual game mode, the players in these games usually do try to win, even if it's using a suboptimal build or playstyle, like AP Rek'Sai, ADE LeBlanc, support Twitch, etc. Nothing feels more humbling than getting absolutely outplayed by a Grandmaster Zilean and a 1v1 who's dodging everything and laughing while he peppers you with bombs. Item number two that I wanted your opinions on, healing in the late game. It's a topic that has been beaten into the ground over and over again, but the thing I hate about it is that you can stack healing items, but you cannot stack healing reduction. Even before Grievous Wound nerfs, if you build a Grievous Wound item into a champion that commonly builds more than one healing or lifesteal item, it feels like there's no point. Who cares if 60% of the healing is gone when I play Kalista with Bloodthirster, Shieldbow, Hurricane, and Blade of the Rune King? It's even worse for champs like Aurelia, who get healing on Q regardless of healing items, and still stack builds like this. If two people build a Grievous Wounds, it may guarantee that the reduction is active in a fight, but it doesn't do anything since they heal for 300 plus per auto. I always feel like if I see more than one Grievous Wound item on my team, it's just gold down the drain overall. Keep up the great work as usual, boys. Thanks again, HFire Jade. I think I'm not sure what the debate item, the debate topic is for ARAM. I think, it's definitely a strong test of skill. Maybe that's it, as people see it more casually than they should. I actually think it's really good for learning the game. You learn a ton of characters like all at once. You pretty much just team fight exclusively. And then you just have to learn how to lane, which is pretty easy, all things considered. But Grievous Wounds, it's definitely something that we have talked about before and definitely recently. But he brings up a good point that you know, we haven't really discussed is, you know, there's a ton of ways to increase your healing, and there's only one way to decrease healing. Yeah. And I've noticed that a lot more, that you build Grievous Wounds and at full efficiency, you know, it reduces healing by 40%. But you know, I've seen a lot more Spirit Visage. And it feels really bad that, like, you know, you build Spirit Visage and you try to counter it with a Grievous Wounds item, and it not that it like totally evens out based on the numbers, but it really feels like, okay, once I have two healing items in Spirit Visage, like I'm back to fully effective healing again, and there's nothing you can do about it.
They did put out a tweet today about it, once again, the fucking best way for Riot to communicate.
That's so wild to me. Yeah.
They just pretty well said that, like, their current goal is to balance all healing in the game around the idea of 40 grievous percent Grievous Wounds is going to be like the cap. So like they can start lowering healing if it gets out of hand to like be actually like affected by 40% Grievous Wounds. So like the 25 is always going to be pretty weak, but the 40 is going to be like a hopefully meaningful like reduction at some point.
I don't know. I will argue for it again. I wish Grievous Wounds was not in the game and healing was based on full effectiveness.
And we had a long discussion last episode about it, so like you can go back and listen to that. But the kind of gist of it was either it needs to not be in the game, or they need to make it like very niche items. Like, you are giving up parts of your build to build healing reduction, but it has a meaningful impact on the game.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Jade. You want to read the next one?
I sure do. This one is from Gavin. He says, "Hey, LeagueCast, so seeing that they reduce the percentage of Grievous Wounds you get on all items, how would you feel if they got rid of the current Grievous Wounds items and added Grievous Wounds Mythic for all classes that would accomplish the goal of people not building it every game? Just to have it But they can keep Grievous Wounds at the 40 to 60 and still have it feel useful. Like the Bruiser one could have the stats of Black Claver, but a bit better and have Grievous Wounds as the passive. Or maybe they'd have the Mythic passive. Every full item you complete gets 8% Grievous Wounds, and the Mythic items would start with 25%. Just spitballing some ideas here. Probably will never happen, but let me know your thoughts. Have a wonderful day, as always, and thanks for the great podcast. So I think the just flat having a Mythic item for each one is not great, because it creates the issue of only one, you can only build one Mythic item, meaning one person on your team has to actively choose to give up their build to fix it. That being said, I like the idea of a Mythic item having Grievous Wounds as the Mythic passive. I think that's really unique.
Yeah, I think so too.
It scales into the game too. Like that's the coolest part about it.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I don't like how like necessary it would feel in some matchups. I mean, if you're, you know, laning against a Vladimir, why are you ever building any other Mythic? You know, the characters are based on healing, or Soraka, you know, if there's a Soraka on the team. And I don't like that, because I feel like specifically with Mythics, you should have like more of a choice for it, where it would feel like less of a choice, I think, with like a Grievous Wounds Mythic. That being said, like I wouldn't hate it, actually. I do think if there was one class that could like have this exist, it would be support. I don't think I would hate a support Grievous Wounds Mythic.
Yeah.
But a lot of the problematic healers are supports, so maybe that's kind of goes against the idea of the class. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's cool. Thank you so much for the email, Gavin. I really like your ideas.
Yeah, thanks, Gavin. Next email is from Kasserkin. He says, "Hey, LeeCast boys. I recently had a ranked game with a Katarina OTP matched against another Katarina OTP. I had already used my dodge that day to avoid a similar circumstance, so I sacrificed the ladder points that Riot's matchmaking god was determined to take. Then it occurred to me, does it have to be this way? There are thousands of machine learning research papers on match prediction in League of Legends and Dota 2 using champion mastery points and player champion using champion mastery points and player champion win rate of both teams, matches can be predicted with 75% accuracy. I don't want to get into the discussion on whether or not OTPs are good or bad for the game. Most players main 1-3 champs because it's the most effective way to play. If matchmaking avoided pairing mains on the same team or enemy team, dodging would be reduced and game quality increased. Games should not be decided by a coin flip on which Katarina main gets to pick first. Kasserkin."
So I think he brings up a really good point, the machine learning. There was a post like a year or two ago, and it was pretty like, I can predict any game with like whatever certainty.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's actually crazy, because dude, fucking AI machine learning shit is fucking bonkers.
It's actually like kind of scary.
Have you been doing any of the fucking Dolly thing?
The Dolly? No.
We'll do it after the show.
Okay.
There's this machine learning thing that you can enter in anything you want, and it fucking will produce 9 images with that prompt. And
dude, oh, I have seen some of that. Yeah, I've seen.
Yeah,
some
you've
of
probably
that.
Seen the memes and shit about it. But yeah, it's fucking crazy. I had an idea for a fucking LeeCast segment about that.
Nice.
We'll come back to that though. But anyways, I think that the biggest thing here though, Karskin, is I don't know how many games are affected by things like this. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if them implementing this system to make it so mains aren't on the same team is worthwhile in the slightest. You know what I mean? I feel like it doesn't happen nearly enough.
And even if it does, is that necessarily a bad thing? I mean, from Riot's perspective, you have matched 10 players against each other, right? And the odds of 2 of the 10 players maining the same champion have to be like pretty low, all things considered. So can you like suddenly start doing the machine learning maths to like, okay, well, if you have the same character in your top 3, you know, most played champions, you're not going to be matched with or against one another. Is that, I mean, at what point do you draw the line? Is it just the one character that you have in common? Is it, you know, within, you know, 3?
Not only
is that even a good way to balance the game?
When Tahm Kench was reworked last year, obviously he's played like a lot of top lane. It was his most played lane. I played against a lot of Tahm Kench's top, and that was my favorite fucking thing to lane versus, because I don't think I lost lane ever because I knew how to play the character.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's a fun part of the game. Like, I feel like if you're a one trick and someone picks your one trick, you should just be able to fucking pound them. because you main that character.
Yeah, pick your main and then learn the hardest matchup possible for them, and then it's free, you know.
But it's definitely like that's part of the game. I feel like it's really interesting too. So
yeah. I don't know. Thanks, Kasakin.
Do you want to do next the, is from yeah, 51 Shades of Faker, and he says, "Hey, tried Aiden's giant belt stacking on, but on Dr. Mudo, it works great. He has only HP scaling, so it's most likely even better on Mudo than it is for Kench. Please forgive me for the egregious length of my email." 51 Shades of Faker. So I had, when I was talking about it on stream a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Mudo, but I came to the conclusion I think it's worse on Mudo because Mudo's fucking build path. So, like, early it's way worse for sure, and then later it might be better because early Mudo really needs his mythic, and then Mudo really needs pretty well every single game unless they're full AD second item Spirit Visage, which doesn't build out of Giant's build. So if you go mythic item into Spirit's Visage and then you build three Giant's build, I think it's fine because then you build the Giant's belts into Thornmail, Warmogs, and
Chains.
Titanic sometimes is a Titanic.
Oh, okay.
Item on Mundo.
Yeah. Sorry.
Like, those are three items that you can build. It's just like, fuck, building a bunch of Giant's belts and then having to complete Spirit Visage and then start working on Giant's belts, like, feels so slow. But in theory, for his, like, actual values and stuff, it's good for sure. I just think that he needs Spirit Visage so fucking bad and that doesn't build out Giant's belt.
Interesting. But that's it's crazy. I love that build. I love it.
It's fun.
I hope they don't make it unique so you can't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Our last email is from Big Mike. Hey, guys, Big Mike again. Wanted to start by saying I finally climbed out of iron by one-tricking Ornn. I'm currently sat on an 80% win rate with him in my last 20 games, so I'm hoping to hit silver this season. Secondly, why won't Riot switch to the obviously superior draft method they seem to use in pro play? It seems like a better way to draft. It makes you think about what the enemy team is picking and banning more. Finally, I wanted to ask you if you could switch the abilities on two champions, who would you choose? I love the idea of Tryndamere switching with Fiora and using that big ass sword to parry and her spinning around with that tiny little needle. Thanks for the podcast, Big Mike. That's funny. I like that imagery.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your newfound success. I think Ornn's like pretty good for solo queue if you're able to play weak side and you know, tolerate that.
He pounds every single fucking tank in the game.
It's crazy. Why wouldn't they switch to the... So I think the pro draft method takes too long for solo queue, especially where dodging is not only more prevalent than pro play, but simply present. You know, you can't dodge in pro play. That'd be wild.
There's also a bunch of shit that just doesn't work for solo queue. Like, namely, first of all, like, that draft method works a lot because communication's a really important part of it, right? Like, oh, they pick their top mid jungle, we should pinch support AD carry. You're not communicating all these things in your fucking solo queue 30-second draft window, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we need to pinch this role, I need to first pick this, or they're gonna pinch me, because, like,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever. Also, it works because you have, like, insights to what those people play, which you don't have in solo queue because you don't know what the enemy team is. And then also, like, dude, that means that players in theory have to play more characters, because in current, like, League of Legends, in theory, yeah, a team can ban 5 AD carries, but it's way more likely that someone will be pinched on, like, let's just say AD carry, right? You're an AD carry main, fifth pick, right? Your first three players pick top mid jungle. The enemy team, let's just say they banned one or two AD carries in first draft, they're banning two more AD carries in second draft. So you're going to be at least down 4 AD carries before you get to pick. Which, like, I don't
for
know.
For solo queue, that's good. Crazy.
Especially in, like, lower brackets of play, too. Like, imagine if you're fucking just, like, a random silver player and you just want to play League of Legends, you get your fucking champion pool pinched, like, in solo queue. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, sorry I can't play, you know, 15 AD carries. I'm iron.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's superior in, like, every way of, like, design. It just doesn't work in a solo queue environment.
Yeah. And lastly, which two abilities would we switch? Would you swap out Tom Kench's shield for something actually usable?
Can I switch for, like, other abilities? Does that have to be the same, like, level?
Other abilities, because he did. Fiora W, Tryndamere E. So you can pick any basic ability in the game.
So I want to change Tom Kench's E for Malphite's passive.
Really?
No. I just think it's funny just giving him just a shittier shield.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is there a version of his shield? Like, I think.
How about Leona? How about Leona W?
That'd be pretty good.
So yeah. That way you don't. I mean, you still get like a lot of bonus HP, but now you don't have to build any resistances.
Yeah, that's
he's so broken actually.
Yeah. What about you?
I would pick Leona's passive for something. I'm not sure what, but something. Maybe Nautilus passive. More CC.
Leona's passive is the sunlight, right?
Yeah, it's the shitty like extra damage if an ally hits him.
God, is Nautilus' passive the best passive on any other character in the game?
It's hard because so
a
lot
of characters that like need their passive. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say so a lot of characters need their passives. But
especially
like,
newer age ones, like for
yeah,
sure.
I'm struggling to find one that would just be like so blanket good on so like, many characters. I
mean, like just any character that has a like old school passive where they just threw it on them, like. Is better with it. Like, for example, Fizz is he can walk through minions.
Oh, yeah. Fizz would be so good.
Imagine his auto's just stunned.
Well, his Q applies on hit effects. Yeah. So his Q would just root.
Yeah. Any character that can just give up their passive is infinitely better with Nautilus passive. That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Huh. Interesting. Awesome. Thank you, Big Mike. That'll do it for this episode. It was a bit on the shorter side, but we persisted. Through Mother Nature herself. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you want to send us an email, it is mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/kinglardout/bluebasket/leaguecastfrost. I'm planning to stream a lot more this weekend. I'll have some free time, so definitely tune in if you're interested. Tweet at us at Leaguecast. On Facebook, we're Leaguecast. Visit our website, leaguecastpodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/leaguecast. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.